morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is Zayin. We are on Vav Amud Beis. We are going to be beginning this morning with the words Amar Mar. Yesterday on daf Vav, we went through the Dal Rishios, the Braisa, that introduced us to the idea that on Shabbos there are four domains. Min HaTorah, there are only two domains, the Rishos Yachin and Rishos HaRabim. And then there are two other domains to describe. One is the Carmelis. Carmelis is an area which it does not define neither the Rishos Yachin nor the Rishos HaRabim, but what the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim slapped the area with a name of a domain. Neither Rishos Yachin nor Rishos HaRabim, but simply a domain. It's called the Carmelis. The word Carmelis, so over the course of our beginning of Masechet Shabbos, we had a couple explanations of what the word Carmelis means. The word Carmelis itself is not a word. It is definitely a composite of something. What exactly it's a composite of? So Tosos quotes Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Carmelis comes from the word Carmel, which is basically something which is a wheat kernel that's not perfectly moist, not perfectly dry, but something in the middle. Rashi earlier quoted a pasuk from Yeshayahu, but it's the same basic idea. It's not a street. It's not a home. It's like kind of like a forest, right? Rashi quoted the pasuk from Yeshayahu, Yar v'Karmel. Anyway, what the basic idea is that a Carmelis is neither Rishos Yachin nor Rishos HaRabim, but still it is now going to be a rabbinically labeled domain. As such, as we already learned on the Brais on Daf Vav, one is not allowed to transfer from Rishos Yachin to Carmelis, nor is one allowed to transfer from Rishos HaRabim to Carmelis, and also, by the way, in the other direction as well. Thank you. The fourth domain mentioned in the Braisa on Vav Amud Aleph is a Makom Patur. Makom Patur is just simply an undefined area, meaning an area that does not have enough definition neither for it to be a Rishos Yachin or Rishos HaRabim, nor not even a Carmelis, and a Makom Patur, an area which is quote-unquote exempt, so one would be lichatchila allowed to transfer from Rishos Yachin to a Makom Patur. One lichatchila would be allowed to transfer from Rishos HaRabim to a Makom Patur, and again, in the other directions as well. The only limitation by Makom Patur, as we learned in the Braisa, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, is that I cannot use it as a go-between a Rishos Yachin and a Rishos HaRabim. One would not be allowed to transfer from Rishos Yachin to a Makom Patur, and then subsequently from the Makom Patur to a Rishos HaRabim. That is the Braisa that we saw on Daf Vav. Review the Braisa on Daf Vav, because for remainder of today and yesterday as well, we went through the Braisa, and in the traditional manner, whenever we see a Braisa, so the Gemara is going to dissect it and analyze it line by line. Obviously, this Braisa forms the most basic information regarding what serves as a Rishus Lagabi Shabbos, and so therefore, it is very, very basic information, and the Gemara is going to be spending some time doing so. In terms of the layout of the next couple of Dapim, today's Daf, tomorrow's Daf, and half of Daf Tess is going to be the balance of this discussion regarding Rishuyos and the Braisa that we just learned together. Only when we get to Tesamud Beis do we then, quote-unquote, start Shabbos. I know that sounds funny, but this first mission that we're doing right now, that we're in the middle of learning, so it's just kind of like an intro to Hatzah. And as we already discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, why is the Gemara in Shabbos giving an introduction to Hatzah? It's one of the 39 Malachas, but the Malachas are not rolled out until the 7th Perek. So why are we giving this introduction to Hatzah? So see the first Tosfos for that discussion and that very important discussion. In the meantime, however, let's pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Amar, the Gemara now is going to be quoting from the Braisa. Aval yam ubika v'ha istavnis v'ha karmelis en alo kirishos yach v'lo kirishos rabim. So examples of things which are not rishos yach nor rishos rabim are going to be an ocean, a valley, an istavnis. The istavnis is like the stav that we described in yesterday's daf. And a Carmelis. A Carmelis is a Carmelis. Okay, later this morning, we're going to ask the question, why is Carmelis an example of a Carmelis? Isn't Carmelis the larger topic? And Carmelis over here is not, seems to be an example of a Carmelis. That's strange. The Gemara is going to point that out later on. Right now, however, we're going to be focusing our attention on the Bika, on the valley. The Gemara asks the following question. Ubika ina lo kirishos yach v'lo kirishos rabim v'atanan. Now, as far as the valley is concerned, so what are we talking about? Now, when we say valley over here, it's obvious that we're not just talking about a natural valley. A natural valley doesn't have any walls to it, And so it's a little bit difficult to just even entertain the Gemara's discussion about the Bika being a Rishus Yachid. So what is going to be obvious, and the Gemara is going to spell this out in just a moment, is that the Bika in question over here has some sort of perimeter around it, and that is going to be explained a lot better in just a moment. Anyway, Vahatanam, but before we flesh out the Bika, so let's learn together a Mishnah. The Mishnah over here in Taharos teaches us the following. Habika, so if I have this valley, I'm using the word valley because that's the literal translation, but you'll see. So Habika, b'yamosachama rishus yachid l'shabbos rishus rabim l'tumah. So in the summer months, so it will be considered rishus yachid vis-a-vis Shabbos. It will be considered rishus rabim vis-a-vis tumah. Both these points require clarification. Let's go step by step. As far as Shabbos is concerned, so we already know. In other words, the Rishus Yachid Lagabi Shabbos, so that informs us that this Bika has walls around it, and so if somebody were to transfer from a Rishus Rabim into this Bika, so one would be in violation of the Malacha of Hotzah. So that we already know. Rishus Rabim Lagabi Tumah, so what's that? So we encounter this numerous times throughout Shas. The idea that if there is a Safik Tumah, B'Rishus Yachid, Sfeiko Tameh. If there is a Safik Tumah in a Rishus Rabim, Sfeiko Tahor. Now, here, even though the terms that are used are Rishus Yachid, Rishus Harabim, they do not, it's not the same definition as Rishus Yachid, Rishus Harabim, Lagabe Shabbos. What is it? It's basically a private area versus a public area. We know that the halachas of Safik Tumah are going to be following the prototype, the model of Sota. When a woman secludes herself with a man in a private area, meaning in a room where nobody else is there, and they have perfect privacy, so that is what's called legabe sota a rishus yachid. If, however, she's with the man but in a public area, public just simply means there is one other person there, so that is considered rishus harabim. So it's a little bit strange to try to define a domain area as a rishus yachid, rishus harabim, when it's just a question of, is there somebody else there, is there not somebody else there? But basically what we're saying is that if the area lends itself to being a totally private area, that's rishus yachid. If the area is somewhat trespassed by others, so that's Rishus Harabim, Legabe Tumah. And now these halachas by Sota, now it's funny, Sota has nothing to do with Tumah, with Tumah and Tahara. But still the Torah uses the word Tumah in describing the Sota, so we take those two definitions and we carry them over to the halachas of Safik Tumah. Safik Tumah Rishus Yachid, the halach is that it is Tameh, Safik Tumah Rishus Rabim, the halach is Safik Tahor. Now in this Bika, now let's go back to our discussion. So this Bika, when it comes to the summer months, so it is going to be considered a Rishus Rabim for Safik Tumah. In the summer months, so the ground is dry, people could walk on it, and this Bika is frequented by other people. So therefore, it is considered Rishus Harabim Lagabi Tumah. B'yamosag Shamim, now, this same area in the winter where the ground is really muddy, Rishus Yachid, now we have the words Lakan Lakan, probably Lakach Lakach, it's going to be Rishus Yachid both in Hilchos Shabbos and also in Hilchos Safik Tumah. Because in the muddy winter, nobody's walking in that area. It is a perfectly private area, and therefore it's going to be Rishus Yachid for Shabbos and for Safik Tumah. Now, as far as the Safik Tumah is concerned, we can put that now in the rearview mirror. We're done with that. As far now as Shabbos is concerned, obviously we have just presented a significant problem. Because this Mishnah has just taught us that when I have a Bika, so it is considered Rishus Yachid. Our Braisa told us that when you have a Bika, it's a Karmelis. That's a problem. Amar Ula, the Gemara is going to give two approaches to this problem. One by Ula, La'olam Karmelis Havya, V'amai Karmelis Rishus Yachid, L'fishen Rishus Rabin. So Ula tells us that really it's a karmelis, meaning our Mishnah, our Braisa on Vav Amud Aleph, that's really the primary source. It is a karmelis. The only reason why the Mishnah Taharos said it's a Rishus Yachid is because when it comes to Safik Tumah, so it's really a binary question. It's either Rishus Harabim or it's a Rishus Yachid. So there's no karmelis concept as it relates to Safik Tumah. So being that I only have two words to use in that vocabulary, so we're going to say Rishus Yachid only just simply to say that it's not a Rishus Harabim. Now, it's true that the Mishnah also mentions Shabbos as well, but because Tumah comes up over there, and there's no other word choice to use, So therefore, the word we're going to use is Rishos Yachid. But we don't mean that it's literally Rishos Yachid. We mean that, as far as Safek Tum is concerned, it's not a Rishos Arabim, so therefore we'll use the term Rishos Yachid. Fine. But really, it's a Karmelis. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi gives a different approach, as we now turn to the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Rav Ashi Amar, you're going to Islay Mechitzos. So we're talking about a scenario where it has walls around it. Okay, and now we get to this idea that we're not just talking about a valley, but we're talking about a valley with a perimeter around it. And v'chi hadam ula, and now in order to understand this, we have to supplement Ravashi's answer with something that was taught to us by Ula. And that is, v'chi hadam ula, I'm Rav Yochanan, karfaf yosemi beis asayim. If I have a large expanse of area, which is circumscribed by walls. Now, this large expansive area, we're going to describe it now as a karfaf. And that is a term that you're going to be hearing a lot in the course of our Masechta. You're going to be hearing it a lot more in the course of Masechta Erevin. So a karfaf is just simply a large expanse of land that's circumscribed by walls. Now, the minimum area is beis asayim. It's 2 sa'ah of land. Sa'ah, by the way, is a volume. It's hard to understand how you're measuring area by volume, but we're talking really about the amount of seeds that you're going to be planting in that area. Anyway, it's a large expanse of area. Shalohuka fladira. Here's the critical factor. And that is that when you put the wall around it, it wasn't for residential purposes. Meaning, it's just simply a fence around a field. And nobody was planning on living in such an area. And if afilu kurva, afilu kuraim, and it could be the size of 30 sa'ah, or 2 times that amount, hazorik lasocho chayev. My time of mechitzahi. So, is it a Rishos Yachid? So the answer, push comes to shove, is of course yes. Meaning it's an area circumscribed by wall. And so therefore, and it's got 4 walls around it, it's a Rishos Yachid. If I were outside this perimeter, taking an in a Rishos Arabim, and I took any item and I threw it into this perimeter, so then obviously one's violating the Malacha of Hotzah. He went from Rishos Arabim to Rishos Yachid. However, and this is the next part which is critical, Elishim Chuseris de Yurin. Now, what it's missing, however, is residence. Nobody's living in there. And therefore what? Look at the top Rashi and the Amud. Rashi runs, Kagon Diyisle Mechitzos, Va'ashminen Da'af Agav Dehekefa, Yosem Beis Asayim. Look, its expanse is bigger than a Beisa, than 2 sa'ah. V'lo Hukof L'dira, but it's non-residential. She'ein Beitzo Samuchlo, Kodem Hekef. The wall was put around it before any adjacent house. So this is simply a non-residential enclosed area. And Rashi explains, and therefore, you're not allowed to pick something up and walk something inside of this area. Even though, I know this is going to be a new concept, even though we just said it is a Rishos Yachid, but I still can't carry inside of it. Now, why not? Because we're going to learn this in Masechta Erevin, but we're also learning it right now as well. And that is that when I have such a large area, even though it's got 4 walls around it, even though it's circumscribed by walls, nevertheless, one is not allowed to carry in that area. It's going to be branded a karmelis status, even though it's a Rishos Yachid. Now, this is a very subtle point. Meaning, is it a Rishos Yachid? The answer is yes. Is it a karmelis? The answer is also yes. It is a Rishos Yachid, and if I throw something into it, so then one violated the Malach of Otsah by transferring from Rishos Yachid, from Rishos Arabim to Rishos Yachid. Now let's put all this together. Meaning, here's now what Ula, here's Ravashi's approach. Ravashi's approach is that Mishnah Taharis is right, and our Bryce is also right. They're both right. It is a Rishos Yachid, because it's an area circumscribed by 4 walls. And therefore, if I transfer from the Rishos Rabim into this area, one would be Chayev. That's the Mishnah in Taharos. But our Mishnah, our Braisa in Andavav is also correct. It is a Karmelis. Because the expanse of area is so large, it's a minimum of a Beis HaSayim, and it was Eino Hukof L'dira, the walls when originally put up were for non-residential purposes, so therefore the area inside is going to be treated like a Karmelis. It is treated like a Karmelis, and therefore one is not allowed to carry in that area, because you're not allowed to walk, Dalat Amos, within a Karmelis. So this is Rav Ashi's approach. Now here's the point of interest, which the Gemara is going to pick up on right away. This approach of Rav Ashi, it's wonderful. Meaning, it basically says both the Mishnah and the Braisa are correct. in the labeling of it of a karmelis and a rishus yachid. In order to give Rav Ashi's answer, he has to support himself based on a statement made by Ula, right on the top of the amud. V'chi hadamer Ula. So he bases his answer based on a statement that was said by Ula. Now you'll notice that in another approach altogether of how to resolve the discrepancy between the Braisa and the Mishnah, who was the first one who gave us an answer? Ula. Now Ula did not give that answer. Ula said that really it's a karmelis, but the only reason why the Mishnah Taharis calls it a Rishus Yachid is only because of the limited word choice. Meaning because by Tumah, you can either use the word Rishus Rabim or you could use the word Rishus Yachid. But really, fundamentally, it's a karmelis. Why didn't Ula give an answer that he himself would have supported with something that he taught us? That's the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, Rav Ashi lo amar kudu Ula. So I understand why Rav Ashi doesn't give Ula's answer. But Ela Ula, my tamalo amar kishmaite. But Ula, why not give the answer which you yourself would have appreciated? Meaning you introduced us to this concept of karfaf, that when I have a large expanse circumscribed by walls, even though it is a rishus yachid, it's also a karmelis. You're the one who taught us this halacha. So therefore, your limud would have been a perfect answer to this question. So amalachai dislay mechitzas beka karilei karfavi. So Ula says, yeah, but you know what? The reason why I don't say that is because I didn't appreciate the word choice of the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the word bika. If it was describing what I describe as a karfaf, the Mishnah would have used the term karfaf. Meaning this term karfaf is an older term. Already the Tanaim used such a term. And so therefore, this Mishnah would use the word karfaf if, in fact, it was describing the area in which I was describing. Rav Ashi, Rishus Yachid Ketani. Now Rav Ashi says, okay, I appreciate the fact that it's not called the karfaf. I appreciate your point that it's called the bika, but I'll tell you what, the Mishnah also said the word Rishus Yachid. According to you, Ula, you're fixated on the word bika. But shouldn't you also be fixated on the word Rishus Yachid? Meaning, what does Rishus Yachid normally mean? Rishus Yachid normally means Rishus Yachid. And you're saying, nah, it's not really Rishus Yachid. It's just meaning that relative to it not being a Rishus Rabim, so that's why I call it Rishus Yachid, but really it's a karmelis. Well, what did you do over there? Meaning, so you're abstracting the word Rishus Yachid, and because you're so literal on the word bika. Okay, so I'm telling you, no, let's focus on the word Rishus Yachid, and as far as bika is concerned, so we'll stretch the definition of the word bika. Okay, anyway, what comes out over here is as follows. So the bika, is it a Rishus Yachid? Is it a karmelis? We have dissenting viewpoints from our Braisa and the Mishnah and Taharos. How do we resolve it? So the two answers given by the Gemara is Ula and Rav Ashi. Ula says that no, really it's a karmelis in essence. It's all it is. A bika is a karmelis. Either Mishnah and Taharos just simply means it's not a Rishus Rabim. And Rav Ashi's answer is no. Elu ve'elu. It is a karmelis and it's a Rishus Yachid. It's an area that's circumscribed by walls. Anything circumscribed by walls is min haTorah Rishus Yachid. On the other hand, if it is too large an expanse and it was not hukaf ladira, it's going to be labeled a karmelis on top of it being a Rishus Yachid, which means that one would not be allowed to carry in that area more than Dalat Amos. We're going to learn more about that point later on this morning.
Right. So we know Rishus Yachid, if it's Dalat by Dalat, Tfachim, so it's a Rishus Yachid. That's also about Hukaf Ladira. So why are we applying Hukaf Ladira exclusively in the north direction?
I think, right. So I think the idea is that the fact that it's a large expanse of land makes it similar in nature to Rishus Rabim. And so the Chachamim were concerned that once we allow people to carry in that area, even though it's so big, like you can't even see, like in, right here, it's a forest, and not even a forest, but you can't even see the other wall. And the Chachamim said, once people are comfortable in that carrying in that area, they're going to all end up carrying in the Rishus Rabim. That's, I think, the basic idea behind this Gzera de Rabbanan. Karmelis, Atukulu Nami, Nami Lavka Karmelis Ninhu. As we move on in the Gemara, we're up to the next point of the Gemara, which is, of the examples of Karmelis, one of the examples of a Karmelis is a Karmelis. And that, of course, is not an example, that is the category. So what just happened over there? So the Gemara is going to give a couple of approaches over here as well. Ki Asar Rav Dimi, Am Rav Yochan, Lod Strucha, Elo Karen Zavis, Smuchel, Rishos Rabin. So the Gemara says, I'll give you an example of what we're describing over here as far as Carmelus being an example of Carmelus. Okay, so imagine the following. Okay, you have rows of houses and the houses abut a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, now, the good construction group would be lining up the houses in a row. And, and we find by any apartment complex, any condominium complex, they're going to line up in a row. And so what you're going to have is a nice straight line of the houses abutting the Rishus HaRabim. But for a moment now, let's just imagine that one of the houses, for whatever reason, is recessed, meaning the houses are right next to one another. The walls of the houses are serving as a wall to the Rishus HaRabim, but one of the houses now is recessed. And so what you have now is an area where, on one hand, it abuts the Rishus HaRabim. If necessary, people in the flow of traffic could detour into that recessed area, but generally speaking, the flow won't go in that direction. So what now is this area where it's abutting a Rishus HaRabim? It's a recessed area, and what is this area now going to be halachically? So the first approach is that area is a Carmelus, meaning it's not... Yeah, I hear your point. I have much to say about that, but right now I'll keep it. You're right. In other words, that area now has three walls around it. Yeah, I know. Okay. Let's come back to me later, and I'll give you more on that point that you just made. I really like it. But so that recessed area is not the Rishus HaRabim because we don't see the flow of traffic going through that area. On the same time, however, it is just open to a Rishus HaRabim, and so therefore it's going to be labeled a Carmelus area. That's one suggestion of what the Braisa meant. And just to read it inside the Gemara, Lo nitzuch ela karen zavis esmuch l'Rishus HaRabim, da'al fagav dezimin dedakke bei Rabim, va'ayle legava. If traffic is very heavy, so sometimes the flow of traffic is going to go into the recess, but still. But since its usage is not regular, so therefore the Chachamim give it the label of a Carmelus. That's one example of what the Mishnah meant. A second example. If we're talking about between the pillars, so in other words, we have Rishus HaRabim, and somewhere within the Rishus HaRabim there are pillars. Now the pillars themselves are going to obstruct traffic. But what about between the pillars? Bein ha'amudim. So, nidun k'karmelus. So Rav Yochanan says that's another area within the Rishus HaRabim because it impedes traffic. So therefore, the areas, not the amudim themselves, but even the areas in between the amudim, they're also not going to have Rishus HaRabim status. If they're not having Rishus HaRabim status because it impeded traffic, so what is it? It's a karmelus. My time, ha'afagav de darsi bei rabim, kevin de lo mistageluhu bahadei, Carmelus Damya. Because it did impede the flow of traffic, even though it's in the Rishus HaRabim, but Rishus HaRabim, as we're seeing, by the way, as part of what the definition of Rishus HaRabim is that there is a flow of traffic. And once that flow of traffic is impeded in that area, so therefore, that particular recess, it's not a recess, but that particular area within the Rishus HaRabim is going to have Carmelus status. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Yehuda, Itzabesh Lufnei Amudim Nidon Carmelus. Now we're going to be treated to here a third interpretation of what this example of Carmelus is. Let's say I have benches that are right in front of the Amudim. Now benches, are going to obstruct traffic. We're talking about the areas of the benches themselves. So they for sure are going to be an obstruction of traffic. And and as a result of that, these bench areas, are not going to be considered Rishus HaRabim, but rather they're going to be a Carmelus. Now, the Gemara is going to just compare and contrast these last two positions that we just learned together. One we just learned, Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan, is the area between the Amudim. The second one, which we just learned, Rav Zera in the name of Rav Yehuda, the actual Itztaba area, these bench areas. If I say that Bein HaAmudim is considered a Carmelus, for sure the Itztaba area is going to be considered a Carmelus as well. But if I say it's the Itztaba, you see, by the Itztaba, traffic is not walking over the Itztaba. And so therefore, the area of the Itztaba itself is not a Rishus HaRabim and will be a Carmelus. Ava bein ha'amudim, but between the pillars, the nichatash mishtei, where there the traffic could flow and weave in and out in that area, lo. So then no. Meaning it does not lose its status of being a rishus harabim. So if my definition of karmelis is itztaba, it won't necessarily then transfer over to the area of the bein ha'amudim. Lishna Aprin, the Gemara presents this in another language. Aval bein ha'amudim, the zimnin de darsi l'rabim, kirushus l'rabim damya. It's another way to say it. It sounds awfully similar. And basically, between the area of the amudim, where people do frequent in that area, it therefore will be treated like a rishus l'rabim. Okay. Adkan so far this morning, we, number one, went over the area of the Beka. Is the Beka area karmelis? The Braisa told us it is. But then we were bothered by the fact that the Mishnah in Taurus calls it a Rishus Yachid. And the Amoraim dealt with that. We also just went through together, as one of the examples of a Karmelis is a Karmelis, what is this non-defined Karmelis example of the Karmelis? We just learned three different explanations of what that is. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're on Zayin Amud Aleph. We are halfway down on the Amud. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chista. The Gemara now is going to be discussing the following Levena Zakufa. We're talking about a brick. Standard size of a brick back in the day is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. In terms of the height of the brick, so that's a variable. That's not a fixed amount. And so they could be really low to the ground. They could be really high off the ground. But in terms of its area, 3 by 3 tefachim. Why is that significant? Because 3 by 3, obviously, is not its own rishus. Certainly not a rishus yachid. Rishus Yachid, by minimum standards, needs an area 4x4. It's not even a karmelis. We're going to learn together that a karmelis area has to be minimum 4x4. So, it's not a Rishus Yachid, not a Rishus Arabim. And assuming that it's not too low to the ground, so it's not part of the Rishus Arabim. So, by process of elimination, it's not a Rishus Yachid, it's not a karmelis, it's not a Rishus Arabim. So, what is it now going to be? It'll be a Makam Putter. Just simply by process of elimination. But now, watch carefully as we discuss this brick. So, Levena Zakufa, if the brick now is sit upright in the Rishus Arabim, Bi Rishus Arabim, Vizorg V'tach B'faneh Achayev. Now, I take something and I throw it against it. We will see later this morning, the item that I threw is really sticky. So, like a date. And so, therefore, it's possible that it can stick right on the side of the brick. So, Vizorg V'tach B'faneh, and it stuck right onto the side, so one would be chayev. Now, what did he do? He threw 4 amos in a rishus harabim, meaning he was more than 4 amos away. He threw the date. It landed on the side of this brick. So what he did now is successfully violate the malacha of mavir dalat amos b'rishus harabim. And that's why he would be chayev. Now, if I could just make all of us think a little bit harder over here. So in order to be mavir dalat amos b'rishus harabim, what do you need to do? You need to do an Akira, you need to do a Hanacha. And as we already learned numerous times, the Akira has to be from an area of Mamakum Dala Dalad, and the Hanacha has to be in an area of Mamakum Dala Dalad. So, when I throw this date onto the side of a brick in a Rishus Arabim, certainly the Akira was done off the floor, right? Let's assume. Or even off a table, doesn't matter. And so that certainly is an Akira from a Mamakum Dala Dalad. But when it landed on the brick, on the side of the brick, so what is where's the hanacha on a makam dalar adalin? So if we could just pause over here. So Tosus has a major discussion on this very point. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, I'm on the third Tosus on the Amud. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, di imnach lamalam shlosh tzarich sheyehe befaneha arba al arba. So Tosus says that if let's say the date landed anywhere above 3 tefachim on the vertical height of the brick, you see what Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that we all knew. And we all understand, is that if it lands low on the brick, low to the ground, within 3 tefachim of the ground, so that, of course, is tantamount to it landing on the ground itself. So, if it lands on an area on the brick above 3 tefachim, so now, that surface area has to be minimum dalet al dalet. Umashe medubak bifnei halavena chashav kemunach aleha. Afa pisha eno ela ba'avir. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, really interesting the way he views this now. In that even though it's on the vertical side of the brick, but still, because it's resting over there, because of its adhesion, so therefore it is considered as if it's resting on the brick. That's considered a hanacha. So this idea of Rabbeinu Tam, a vertical hanacha, really interesting concept. The challenge with Rabbeinu Tam, of course, is going to be, is that if this brick is gimel al gimel, like I originally reported, so then how are you going to have a side area of a makum dalet al dalet? That's challenging, admittedly. But anyway, that's the opinion of Rabbi Natan. And then just drop a little bit further on that very same Tosfos, and he quotes the Riva. And he says, V'riva perish, it's right in the middle of the Tosfos. V'riva perish, ta'afla malam gimel, lo ba'i she'yehe b'fnei ha'levena v'koso dalet al dalet. Really interesting opinion of the Riva, which is that because right now what's below it, nothing. Adhesion is sticking its side. Adhesion is sticking it to the side of the brick, but directly below it is just simply air. But even though it's above three tefachim of the ground, as far as the hanach is concerned, because nothing's obstructing it from the ground, so therefore it's considered like it's resting on the ground. And so therefore, I don't need on the side of the brick an area of dal al dal because it's just simply facing the ground.
It's below three.
No, forgive me.
It has to be below.
I know that, but read the Riva again, because the Riva does not say that. Riva perish to af lamala mi gimel, lo ba'i she'e b'fnei ha'levena, v'koso dal al dal.
If the levena is only three tefachim.
Now, the area of the levena... Levena is an area of 3x3. In terms of the height, that's a variable. So the height of the levena could be higher than 3 tefachim. And what the Riva's point is that even if the date stuck on an area higher than 3 tefachim from the ground, it's still considered like it's munach on the ground. Because it's facing the ground. Now, if you read Rashi carefully, and I'm not going to do this now, but I highly recommend it. If you read Rashi carefully, it sounds like Rashi is siding with the Riva's viewpoint. Let me point you in the right direction. The Rashi Dibra Maschel Chayev, so Rashi sounds like he's agreeing with the Riva that it just simply has to be facing the ground, regardless of how high it is off the ground. And that's considered a hanacha. Now, going back to the Gemara. So throwing the date in the Rishus Rabbim against the brick, against the side of the brick, so then you're going to be chayev because that's Mavir Dal Amos. Al Gabah, if I throw it onto the brick, so then Pater. Right, because on the top of the brick, it's a makom pater, as we just described, and therefore one would be pater. So, this brick now. So, here's what we're saying for sure, that the brick itself is not a Rishos HaRabim. Okay, and the reason why we're saying such a thing is because people generally are going to avoid walking on the brick. And so, therefore, it does not qualify as a Rishos HaRabim. Aval. Now, what Abai and Rava are now going to do is they're going to say, okay, but let's say it's not a brick, but let's say it's other items over there that people may try to avoid. Is that also going to lose the Rishus Rabim status? So let's play this out. Aval hizmi vehigi. Basically, we're talking about like small thorns or small bushes that are in the Rishus Rabim. Afa gav delog viyash losha, even if it's not three tefachim high, it is going to be considered. It's not going to be considered Rishus HaRabim. Why not? It's considered Makom Pater. People are generally speaking going to avoid it. It's a thorn. In other words, and I'm going to put my foot down on it. No, I'm going to move to the side. And even though it's within three tefachim to the ground, but nevertheless, because people avoid it, so therefore it doesn't qualify as a Rishus HaRabim. So again, it goes back to a major theme of today's daf. Rishus HaRabim is not just a physical area, but it's basically an area where there will be a flow of traffic. And once people will not step on a particular area, even though that area is ground level, anything within three tefachim of the ground is ground level, nevertheless, that is not going to qualify as a Rishus HaRabim. That is a Bayan Rava. Chia Bar Rava Amar Afili Hizmi Vihigi. Now, Chia Bar Rava says, no, even if I have a thorn bush that's low to the ground, that's still going to be considered a Rishus HaRabim. Rashi over here describes, if you're wearing shoes, it won't impede your progress, and you'll step on it. But what if it's excrement on the ground? Excrement on the ground, no one's going to walk on the excrement. Everyone's going to look to move to the side of the excrement. And so even though the excrement is low to the ground, but because people are looking to avoid it, so therefore it does not have the status of Rishus HaRabim. Ravashi Amar Afilu Tzoa. And Ravashi says, no, even Tzoa. Meaning, Ravashi's position is that any item that's within three tefachim of the ground is considered like part and parcel of the Rishus HaRabim. Even areas that people won't typically step on, but since it really doesn't obstruct the flow of traffic, so therefore it's going to have the status of Rishus HaRabim. right? Brick, brick low to the ground. Thorns or small hedges, small bushes, low to the ground, or even excrement low to the ground. According to Rav Ashi, it all is considered and viewed as part of the Rishus HaRabim. Amar Rav Debei Rav Shila Ki Asur Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, we're going to be learning another statement of Rav Yochanan taught to us by Rav Dimi. Right, if you'll notice today that a lot of that came up in today's daf, Rav Dimi quoting Rav Yochanan. In Karmelis Pechusa Me Arba'a. In terms of the base minimum area of a Karmelis, so it has to be an area of 4x4 Tfachim. We already said it, but we never said it explicitly in the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara assumed that we knew it. Here is the statement of Rav Yochanan that teaches us. The Amar Rav Sheshes V'Tofesis Adasara. Now Rav Sheshes also makes another point regarding a Karmelis, and that it's Tofes Adasara. Now the little translation is not going to help us. It grabs up until 10. Now 10 over here means 10 Tfachim. But even as we translate those words, what does that mean? The Gemara's next question. My v'tofes is ad asara. What does that mean? Ilam de'iika mechitza asara. Who da have a karmelis ve'ila lo have a karmelis. Oh, does that mean that the walls have to be 10 tefachim high? And if the walls are not 10 tefachim high, it's not a karmelis? V'lo. V'hamar rav gidol amar rav chia bar yosef amar rav bai she'im besocha asara v'kirav mashlim ala asara. So let's have the following case study. It's a strange one. It's a house where the top of the roof is 10 tefachim high. It's about three feet off the ground. And the roof is really thick. So if I were in the house, now, to be in such a house is a real challenge. Meaning where the ceiling starts from the floor is less than 3 feet. Significantly less than 3 feet. So to say that you're in the house, you're really crawling inside. I mean, it's... You're not able to stand. Doesn't matter. The point is, let's just deal more with the abstract. The point is that because interior, you don't have walls that are 10 tefachim high, the interior is not going to be a Rishus HaYachid. Oddly, however, when you're standing on the roof, you're now standing on a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because the walls that are surrounding you, now I know they're not physically surrounding you. You're on the roof. But nevertheless, the walls that are coming up to you are 10 tefachim high. Once a wall is 10 tefachim high, then halachically the walls continue to go up. And so therefore, you are standing on the roof on a Rishus HaYachid. So, right? It's strange. You're in this house, you're not in a Rishus HaYachid. You're on the house, you are in a Rishus HaYachid. I know that's strange, but once you understand the concepts, it makes sense. Al gago mutal atalta bekulo. Now, when you're on the top of the roof, so you're now standing on a Rishus HaYachid. You can carry anywhere in that area, because that entire area is a Rishus HaYachid. Bisocho, a metalton bo el adal amos. Now, when you're in the house, you can only carry 4 amos. You can't carry more than 4 amos. And now, why? No, 4 amos laterally. You cannot carry, the height, forget about it. The height, you are... Right, the height is really low. Nine tefachim from the ground. It's really low. 8 tefachim from the ground. Whatever.
I understand you're not standing up.
Okay, so but in other words, as you're crawling through the space, you're carrying something. You can't go more than 4 amos. Now, why? And the answer is because the area is considered a karmelis area, because it is more than 4x4 tefachim, and so the area is a karmelis area. And as we learned, and we're going to continue to say this again and again, in a karmelis area, you're not allowed to carry more than Adal Amos and a Karmelis. Part of the Gzera Derabban of Karmelis is just like in Rishus HaRabim, you can't carry something for Amos. You also cannot carry something for Amos in the Karmelis as well. What does that just tell us? What did we just learn together? That even though the walls are not 10 tefachim high in the interior, it still is a Karmelis. So when Rav Sheshes made that statement of Tofeses Adasara, it doesn't mean that a Karmelis needs 10 tefachim wall, because here we just went through a case study where from the interior the walls were not 10 tefachim high, and yet the area interior is a karmelis. Okay, so elamai v'tofeses ad yud hu dehavi karmelis l'malam yud tefachim lo havi karmelis. Oh, here's what it's coming to teach us. A karmelis has got a halachic ceiling, and again we've gone over this point numerous times, but this is just the ABCs of Rishuyos. A Rishus HaYachid does not have a halachic ceiling. Once an area defines as a Rishus Yachid, it's Ola Adler Rakia. It just keeps going up. A Rishus Arabim has a halachic ceiling of 10 tefachim. This Carmelis, which is a rabbinic area, so what is it going to be in terms of its halachic ceiling? Like the Rishus Yachid or like the Rishus Arabim? Answer, like the Rishus Arabim. It's going to have a 10 tefach ceiling. So that's what Rav Sheshes meant. And the Gemara says, and that's that is correct pshat, it's good pshat. When Shmuel was teaching his student Rav Yehuda, and he referred to him always as Shinana, the sharp one. Anything above 10. Now, what do you think I'm talking about? You think I'm talking about a Rishus Yachin? Now it's kind of Rishus Yachin. If I take a pole and I put it in a Rishus Yachin, and I throw something on top of it, and this pole could be however high you want it to be. And it rests on the top of the pole. Even if it's 100 amas high, chayev. You're going to be chayev. Why? Because once this pole's in Rishus Yachid, the Rishus Yachid domain continues to ascend. And so therefore the top of this pole is considered a Rishus Yachid. Ella, ein Rishus Arabim, as we are now on the top of Amud Beis, Ella dein Rishus Arabim lamala miyud. So, maybe the statement is talking about a Rishus Arabim. That Rishus Arabim is capped at 10 Tfachim. Anything above 10 Tfachim in a Rishus Arabim is now going to be considered a Makom Pater. The Gemara says, okay, that's great. That's a Mishnah. So, Masnisen he. That's a Mishnah. Did not. Hazarik Dalet Amas Bekosa Lamala Miyud Tfachim Kizor Kav Bavir. If I throw something against a wall and I'm in a Rishus Arabim and it lands above 10 Tfachim, it's like throwing in the air. Meaning it's a non-defined area. Lamata miyut tfachim, below 10 tfachim, kizorg baritz, it's like throwing it on the ground. Ella a karmelis. So the statement was not talking about a Rishus Yachid because it's not true. The Rishus Yachid ceiling is, there is no ceiling. Ola adarekia. It's not talking about a Rishus Rabin because that's a Mishnah. And I don't need an Amora to tell us what we already know from a Mishnah. So, but rather it's going on a karmelis. And karmelis lamala miyud. Carmelis does not go above 10 tfachim, meaning its halachic ceiling is 10 tfachim. And now, Vakilo bei Rabbanim, Mikula Rishus Yachid, and Mikula Rishus Rabbim. So, although the Chachamim gave a status to this undefined area as a Carmelis, but they also gave it leniencies. They borrowed from Rishus Yachid, they borrowed from Rishus Rabbim. Mikula Rishus Yachid, Iika Makam Arba, Hu Dav, Carmelis, Vi'ilo Makam Pater. What Kula did they borrow from the Rishus Yachid? That's going to be the base minimum area. For a Rishus Yachid, anything smaller than a base minimum area of 4x4 is not a Rishus Yachid. Same thing with a Carmelis. If the base minimum area is less than 4x4, it's not a Carmelis. And the Iloma Kampater, the Amahu. And Mikule Rishus Arabim, the Ad Yutfachim, who have your Carmelis, Lamalami Yutfachim, Lavi Carmelis. And then they also borrowed from Rishus Arabim. What did they borrow from Rishus Arabim? The halachic height. The halachic height of a Rishus Arabim only goes up to 10 tfachim, so that of a Carmelis also only goes up to 10 tfachim, above 10 tfachim, makom pater. Okay, adkan. Okay, so that is our next stop in today's daf. Okay, so far this morning, the status of a bika was where we started. We then went to the example of a Carmelis. What exactly is the example of a Carmelis as being a definition of a Carmelis? Three pshatim. We talked about throwing a date against the side of a brick in a Rishus Arabim, how to view that. And we talked about the idea of Lamala Miyud B'Karmelis, that in the area above 10 Tfachim in a Karmelis does not have the status of a Karmelis. Karmelis has a halachic ceiling just like a Rishus Arabim. And finally, one more topic for today, Gufa. Amr of Gidol, Amr Rav Chia, Bar Yosef, Amr Rav, Bai She'in Tocho Yud, V'Kirav Mashlimo Liyud, Agogo Motel Atalta B'Kula B'Socho, Ein Metaltan Bo Ela B'Dala Amos. Good. So we're revisiting this really unusual house where from the interior of the house, so the ceiling is below 10 tfachim. The rooftop actually is your 10th tefach. And so as you're standing on the house, so now you're in a Rishus Yachid. When you're in the house, because the walls are not 10 tfachim high, so you are not in a Rishus Yachid. What is that area interior? So the area interior is a Carmelis. The area on the top is a Rishus Yachid. Amar Abaye. V'im chakek bo dala adal v'yishlam al yud, mutal atalta b'kulo. Now, Imagine this really unusual house, and let's go back into the interior of the house. So because from the floor until the ceiling is less than 10 tefachim, it's not a Rishos HaYachid. But let's say now I go right into the middle of the house and I dig a small hole. Now small, meaning that the hole that I dig is going to be 4 by 4 tefachim. And so now, when I go now into this recess that I just created, so now from where I'm standing until the ceiling, it now is 10 tefachim. So this area now that I just dug out is going to be Rishos HaYachid. Fine. That's not... That is in of itself interesting, but it's going to get more interesting right now. And that is that the rest of the house also is going to be Rishos HaYachid. And basically what we're going to learn is the concept of Chorei Rishos HaYachid. Rishos HaYachid and its extensions, literally the holes of the Rishos HaYachid. Once I have a Rishos HaYachid, so then anything contiguous to it is also going to have Rishos HaYachid status, even though it doesn't have Rishos HaYachid dimension. Okay, it'd be better if you saw a picture of it, but the idea is pretty straightforward. So again, I have an interior which is really low. It's only 9 tefachim. I go right to the center. All I need to do is dig out a 4x4 tefach area. That area, now right, 1 tefach deep. That area now is a Rishos HaYachid. The whole house now is considered Rishos HaYachid. This is what's called Chor Rishos HaYachid. Really interesting Tosos on the top of our Amud over here on the Amud base, where, you know, we almost have an identical halacha when it comes to Sukkah, right? The Gemara in Sukkah discusses this very scenario as well. By Sukkah, however, in order for the Sukkah to work as a Sukkah, so your digging area has to be minimum 4x4, but it also has to be proximate to the walls. If it's not proximate to the walls, it won't work. When I say proximate, I mean it has to be within 3 tefachim of the walls. If it's not, it doesn't work. It doesn't work as a sukkah. And so Tosfos is bothered by, it's nearly identical, these two halachas, but over here, the Gemara doesn't regard at all the distance between the hole that you dug and how far it is away from the wall. Meanwhile, in sukkah, that becomes a critical detail. And Tosfos wonders what the difference is. See Tosfos over here, who points out that there's a difference between the halachas of sukkah and the halachas of Shabbos. See Tosfos for that discussion. Let's come back to our Gemara. So, Amar Abaye, Imchakak. I know I'm rereading it, but okay. Amar Abaye, the Imchakak bo dal dav ishlam liyod mutal tautel bekulo. The entire area now is a Rishos HaYachid. My taima have a chori Rishos HaYachid, v'chori Rishos HaYachid ki Rishos HaYachid damu. So the extension of Rishos HaYachid, literally the holes of Rishos HaYachid, has the status of Rishos HaYachid ditmar. And the Gemara now makes this a statement. Chorishos Yachid, Chorishos Yachid Damu, Chorishos Arabim. So as far as Chorishos Yachid, not even open for a debate. Everyone's in agreement. It has a status of Rishos Yachid. What about Chorishos Arabim? So now I have extensions of Rishos Arabim. Now what does that mean exactly? So let's hold for just a moment on the definition. Abaye Amar Chorishos Arabim Damu, Rav Amar Lav Chorishos Arabim Damu. So Abaye says it's like a Rishos Arabim, Rav says it's not like a Rishos Arabim. So Amalei Rav La Abaye, so Rav says to Abaye, Lidicha Damar Chorishos Arabim, Chorishos Arabim Damu. Now, Rav challenges Abaye. So you think that if I have an extended area from the Rishos Arabim, even though its dimensions are not a Rishos Arabim, but yet because it abuts a Rishos Arabim, you think it's a Rishos Arabim. That's interesting. Maishna Mehadachi Asa Rav Dimi, Am Rav Yochanan, Netzucha El Karen Zavis, Hasmuchle Rishos Arabim, Vetehavike Chorei Rishos Arabim. So Rav challenges Abaye based on something that we learned this morning. Let's go back to our series of houses. Remember, in the beginning of this morning, we had a series of houses, and then one of the houses was recessed interior, which created just basically a little bit of extra space of the Rishos Rabin. What do we call that area? So earlier this morning, we called it a Carmelis. We did not call it a Rishos Rabin. No one seemed to argue on that point. Now, according to you, Abaye, what should you call that area? You should call that area Chorei Rishos HaRabim. You should give it the status of Rishos HaRabim. Meanwhile, it sounds like everyone's in agreement that that area of the recessed house is in fact considered a Carmelis and not a Rishos HaRabim. So Abaye, how are you going to handle that? So the Gemara makes a distinction. Sounds like the Gemara is answering on behalf of Abaye, but either way. Hasam lo nichei tashmishtei. Hacha nichei tashmishtei. So the Gemara says, well, when it comes to the recessed area, So Abai is going to go back to a point that we keep reiterating again and again this morning. And that is usage. People are not using that area as part and parcel of the flow of traffic. And so therefore, it doesn't define as the Rishus Rabbim because it's not made use of. But if the area is accessible to the Rabbim and used by the Rabbim, so then it's going to be considered to have the status of Rishus Rabbim. So this would be Abai's defense, and that's why he agrees that the recessed area is a Carmelis, but it's a function of usage. Tanan with the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Zorg da'amas bekosel lamala miyud, kizorg ba'avir. Lamata miyud tfachim kizorg ba'aretz. The Mishnah which we already saw already this morning. I'm throwing something against a wall. If it lands above 10 tfachim, makam pater. If it lands below 10 tfachim, so that is considered now like throwing in a Rishus Rabbim. For amas in a Rishus Rabbim. Ve'avina ba'amai kizorg ba'aretz v'halo nach. Now, it didn't land. So right now the Gemara is thinking that it bounces off. I'm Rav Yochanan Bitvela Shmeina Shanu. So Rav Yochanan says that we're talking about something which is sticky, like a date or like a fig, and it sticks against the side of the wall. So V'isagadacha Chorishus Rabim Kirishus Rabim Damu. Now, once again, the Gemara presses against Abaye. Abaye, you think that any area that abuts a Rishus Rabim is going to be a Rishus Rabim. If you're right, Abaye, so let's say the following. The example where I'm throwing something against a wall, why not just simply say that there was a crevice within the wall and the object that I threw landed in the crevice? You don't have to come up to this sticky date. You could just simply say that I threw it on a crevice into the wall. So, lama lila ukme bidevela shemena. Lukma bitzror vechefetz udenach bechor. It just simply landed within the crevice. And according to you, Abai, that would be an example of Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because you subscribe to the idea that Chorei Rishus HaRabim is considered like Rishus HaRabim. Why don't we give that as an answer? Now, Zimnan Mishani Lei Shani Tzor V'chefetz the Mehadir V'alsi. So, you know, he's got a couple of answers that he gives. One answer that he gives is, and sometimes he says this answer, is that you try throwing a rock into a crevice in the wall. And most of the time it's just going to bounce out. Okay. So, in other words, it's just simply not a practical example. The sticky date, which is going to stick every single time, that's why we go with that example. But if, in fact, the rock can successfully be thrown into the crevice of the wall that abuts the Rishus HaRabim, so then that has the status of Rishus HaRabim. But practically speaking, it doesn't work.
What's the size of the crevice? We don't know. Does it matter?
We'll get to that. It's a fair question. We're going to get to that. Zimna Mishanle Bekosta Leis Bechor. And on top of that, sometimes he just gives another very simple answer. The wall in question over here had no crevices in it. Umimai. And how do I know? Midiktani Resha. Zarek Lamala Miyot Tfachim. Kizarek Ba'avir. Because consider that if you threw it above 10 Tfachim, it's like you're throwing it into the air. Now, Isa Kedar Kosla Dis Bechor. Now, let's entertain for a moment that this wall has crevices in it. And I threw it into the crevice. Amai Kizarek Ba'avir. Hanach Bechor. In other words, if it's above 10 Tfachim, and it was a crevice above 10 Tfachim, so that is considered Hanacha. And a Hanacha on a wall that is, let's assume the wall is 4x4 amas, minimum area, and now it's above 10 Tfachim, and it landed on the wall, that now sounds like a Rishus HaYachid. Didn't I just now throw something from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid? Now the Mishnah says it's Kizorig Ba'avir. But if it landed in the crevice, so isn't that now considered like it landed in Rishus HaYachid? Now, the Gemara says, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, but that crevice is not an area 4x4. And since the crevice area is not an area 4x4, so it doesn't meet the criteria of Hanacha. Hanacha has to be on a makam dal al dalid. The Gemara says, but to that, I would say the following. So when you throw something and it landed above 10 tefachim on a crevice, so here we have a debate of Rameir and the Chachamim, and the debate is Rameir Savar Chokik in Lahashlim. Rameir subscribes to this idea, this halachic concept of Chokik in Lahashlim. I'll explain it in just a moment. And Rabban Savri ain't Chokik in Lahashlim. And the Chachamim does not subscribe to this concept. And as Rashi points out over here, we're trying to explain a Mishnah. Stam Mishnah goes like Rab Meir. And we're going to assume that the Mishnah subscribes to this principle of Chokik in Lahashlim. What is this idea of Chokik in Lahashlim? It's a really interesting concept. It basically says that as long as I have enough material to work with, even if though I threw it onto a crevice in the wall, but which in of itself is small, but if there's more wall area and I could carve it out, halacha allows me to look at it as if it's already carved out. This idea of Chokin Lahashlam Rashi tells us this in the beginning of Yuma regarding the mezuzah, right? Remember they had the arch over there, which takes up a lot of space, but you could carve out the corners of that arch. The Gemara and Yuma discuss that in more detail. Anyway, over here, if I subscribe to Chokik and Lahashlem, that allows me halachically to look at that area as if it's already carved out, and therefore you do have a makum dalal al dalet. So, by virtue of the fact that we're assuming that we're going like Rav Meir, and we subscribe to the position of Chokik and Lahashlem, if I threw it into the wall, into a crevice in the wall, that would be tantamount to throwing it onto a area of a Rishos Yachid. And by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says it's like you threw it in the air, it means it didn't go into a crevice in the wall. It had to have hit the side of the wall. And so therefore, we see over here that the wall does not have crevices, and that's why the Gemara didn't give that answer. Just because by nature of the case, the wall does not have crevices. But I'm with you, says Abaye. Or I don't know if you're with me, but I would maintain that if the wall, in fact, had crevices, and it abutted a Rishos HaRabim, Chorei Rishos HaRabim, Ke Rishos HaRabim. Okay, let's recap our morning. That, no one argues. No one argues. Chorei Rishos HaYachid, that for sure is the status of Rishos HaYachid. Okay.
The wall itself is what? Is it Rishos HaYachid? The wall itself.
The wall itself, probably Rishos HaYachid.
So then the crevice is a chuv to the Rishos HaYachid,
That doesn't seem that way. Doesn't seem that way. Okay, let's quickly recap our morning. We start off this morning by noting what a bika is. A bika, a Rishos Yachid, or is it a Carmelis? And that was our first discussion/debate of this morning. Debate between Rav Ashi and Ula, how to resolve the discrepancy between the Braisa and Davav and the Mishnah and Taharos, where one describes the bika as being a Carmelis, the other one describes it as being a Rishos Yachid. And how to resolve that discrepancy. Our second topic of this morning is that of the examples of Carmelis, one example of a Carmelis is a Carmelis. What is that example? And the Gemara gave three different viewpoints of what that example is. Our third topic of this morning was throwing a date against a brick that's in a Rishus Arabim. The distinction between throwing it onto the side versus throwing it on top. On top is a Makom Patur. Throwing it onto the side, you then through four amos in the Rishos HaRabim. Where is the Hanacha? That we saw Tosfos have that debate in terms of where the Hanacha is. The area above Ten Tfachim of a Carmelis. It's a Makom Patur. The Chachamim labeled and defined a Carmelis, and the area above is above Ten Tfachim is a Makom Patur, just like the area above Ten Tfachim of Rishos HaRabim is a Makom Patur. And we learned that when it comes to the Carmelis, because it's a rabbinically defined area, so they borrowed kulas. They borrowed a kula from Rishos HaYachid. It needs a base minimum area 4x4 tefachim. And they borrowed a kula from Rishos HaRabim in that it doesn't go above 10 tefachim. And the last topic that we discussed this morning was Chor Rishos HaYachid, Chor Rishos HaRabim. Chor Rishos HaYachid. Once I have an established Rishos HaYachid, any extended area from there, even though it doesn't have the dimensions of Rishos HaYachid, has the status of Rishos HaYachid. That really low house is an example, and the Chor Rishos HaRabim, that's a debate between Abaye and Rava. Rava says Chor Rishos HaRabim does not have the status of Rishos HaRabim. Abaye says Chor Rishos HaRabim does have the status of Rishos HaRabim, and then the back and forth of the Gemara in terms of which position is more defensible.